The trips were either early in the morning before sunrise or before sunset. So while waiting for the light, I would just help. And I realized I'm learning a lot because I didn't think that these patch of lands that emerges would have so much life. In the beginning, I didn't see anything. You know, I would just see like these worm poops or like some crabs. But eventually you start seeing things like when you see one animal or like a nudibranch or a sotong. And then you start seeing more because your brain, your eyes just start seeing the patterns. And that's how it got better. And you know, I started documenting more. But the first few trips, it was a disaster. I didn't see anything. And I was so stressed out about stonefishes because they're everywhere. I mean, they're present. And it's since the 60s, like there are documentations of like how the ladies would say whenever they're beach combing or like they're reef combing, they have to be very careful. And sometimes they avoid certain reef flats because it's infested. But some of them actually catch them and cook them. So it's fascinating. I think like a history of a place and the biodiversity of place and like memories of a place, they are all connected. And if you want to talk about a place, you have to talk about all these elements.
What really strikes me is that when you're talking about it, in that ecology, humans are not some kind of separate outsider. When you talk about the beachcombers, they're part of that ecology.
Yeah.
There was like an integral part of that. And I mean, like and then obviously then I want to turn to that question about industrial encroachment, because so many of these islands, like you said, landfill or refinery, it's like or disappeared through right dredging or disappeared through reclamation. How do you think through that? Because there are so many forms of human manipulation of the environment, small scale, and then also very large scale. What are some of your thoughts on that? Like, yeah, we're part of the ecology, but we're also like really altering it, right?
I mean, the interesting part is that the modification of these islands are mainly for industries and people don't live there. It serves a function. Like all these islands had a role and now have a new role, like Pulau Bukom, for example. You know, they had like a lot of villages back then, and then people were moved to Pulau Sedong so that they could make space for some of the Shell's refineries, and then they were moved, and eventually they were all moved. And if you go closer, it's really depressing. You hear this humming sound and flaring and all these, you know, steel and pipes, and I don't know, I mean, it's quite monstrous in a way, but at night it's quite beautiful because they all look like candles. I don't know how to feel about it. I know I feel very down when I'm out there, and I wish that nature could take over. But also I fear that when nature takes over, what would actually happen? The consequence of all these materials that are on the island, how they're going to recycle that or reuse that? I don't know. If you think about like how if the sea rises or if disaster strikes or if somebody blows up something, for example, the sea and everyone around us will be really, really affected badly.
Yeah, because of the contamination.
Yes, and yeah.